The hour that packs a punch. It's Reese on the radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
All right, one more hour to go. And, gosh, this day kind of went by fast. Let's see if we can do some Hollywood news with your correspondent, Reese on the radio. All the glitz and all the glamour. It's Hollywood news. Dun, 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 dun. Hey, so I wouldn't ever go to see any of these movies, but I will tell you, I'm actually kind of interested in seeing the trailers. When I used to write for a magazine called Next Level, I was the editor-in-chief of a magazine. I just called it Hip-Hop and Pop Culture magazine called Next Level. We used to do this little piece in there that I used to do, and I called it Trailer Park. And what I would do is I would give you my review of the movie just by watching the trailer. And that was because my favorite thing, I actually still do it today. I actually go online on YouTube, and they'll do, like, the action films coming out in 2025, and there's, like, a whole, like, you know, bunch of them. And I'll sit there and watch it, and Roseanne will walk in and go, what are you watching? I'm like, movie trailers. She's like, you do that? I'm like, yeah, I love that. So these three movies, I just want to see what the trailers look like. I don't think I'll ever go see them because they're clearly not made for me. But I'm interested in finding out what Roland thinks of any of these. So one movie, one actual character from television is going to get its own movie. Three of them is going to get their own movies. Let's try this one on for size. Thomas the Train is getting his own movie.
Okay.
Called Thomas and Friends.
Thomas and Friends. Let's go.
Is that okay? So is that one that your daughter may have watched? Because I kind of feel like these are out of
cycle. She didn't watch a lot of that, but she watched that sometimes.
I kind of feel like that cartoon or whatever it was, that animation was sort of, it's out of cycle now. So if it finally getting a movie, it's not going to probably be until 2027. I kind of feel like it's late. Hello Kitty is getting its own movie.
That's going to go crazy.
No, I know that's going to go crazy. There's a lot of grown folks who love Hello Kitty. So she's getting her own. I don't even know if it's a she. Nobody seems to know what sex the kitty is. Whatever. And last but not least, I don't know how this didn't come out sooner, but the purple dinosaur is getting his own movie.
Oh.
That's right. I'll get a little bit of I love you, you love me. Barney is getting his own movie. I thought he had like a couple of DVD films.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was. Okay.
I don't think he had a feature film. So. Okay. It's about time that Barney gets his own film. So when we come back after weather and traffic, I have the greatest story to tell about my son Caleb and his love of Barney back in 1994. It is such a heartwarming story. It took me almost 30 years to find the video because nobody believed that it happened. Let's get to Mark Christopher. He's in the BPS Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.
I like the Barney with Abe Vigoda.
That's right, with Abe Vigoda. Abe Vigoda is still one of my favorite people in the world.
Oh, my God. He was awesome.
You know who kept Abe Vigoda alive?
Who?
Longer than ever? The Beastie Boys. They
really
loved every song. After the first album, License to Ill, they talked about Abe Vigoda all the time. And I love the reference to Abe Vigoda because he was fish.
That
face, all of it. Still love that guy.
Barney Miller, baby. 70s. Big 70s.
It's Reese on the radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
Can we show some Hakeem Jeffries love today? I think he's found a new strategy against MAGA.
But we also need a common sense partner on the other side of the aisle. House Republicans shut the government down. Then they ran out of town. And for the last 3 weeks, they're nowhere to be found.
And I stand here looking like a clown. He is the worst. I love it. It's so bad. He's just an awful person. He just is. I wish he wasn't just so corny. I just wish he wasn't just so corny. He's out of his element. You know, he keeps telling people, I'm from Brooklyn, but I gotta be honest, I really do believe this.
I think that Hakeem Jeffries is struggling. He's struggling to be a poised individual because I kind of feel like there is something he'd rather be doing or behaving like instead of what they make him do. And I think that's what all of the hand gestures are, is that he truly speaks like a kid from Brooklyn, and they're telling him that it doesn't fly because he looks like he's about to drop a hot 16 when he moves, so he's got to distract himself by moving the hands. I really do. I'm just saying. I don't know what's wrong with that guy. I just don't. Someone sent me a text asking about polling data. That's right. I did say that I was going to get some polling data. And this is important polling data. We always get it at the beginning of the week. This time we got it in the middle of the week. Harry Anton wasn't in Monday or Tuesday. But I'm glad he was in because I wanted to get to this. With everyone screaming and hollering about Donald Trump's polling numbers, Donald Trump is not on the ballot come November next year. Now, I know a lot of people think that he is. No, every individual and every individual seat is on the ballot. And this is a hard way to go for Democrats. Their polling data is awful. And Harry Enten is expressing it. Now, Lori always says in the chat room, she's our research aficionado in the chat room. She says it every time I play Harry Enten. Why do they still allow him to be on the air at CNN? He can't be good for them. This is where they kind of do a random act of journalism. That's why he's only there maybe once or twice a week. So listen closely. Democrats' chances in the midterm as they stand today. What Harry Enten did was take the momentum, or what the momentum looked like in 2017 from April of that year until October. He then does it again for April of this year until now. Here's what he found.
You go back to April, Kate Baldwin, what were we looking at? Well, we were looking at the Democrats with a very clear shot of taking control of the U.S. House of Representatives, according to the Kalshi prediction market odds. We saw them in an 83% chance. But those odds have gone plummeting down. Now we're talking about just a 63% chance, while the GOP's chances up like a rocket, up like gold, up from 17% to now a 37% chance. So we'll look like a pretty clear likely Democratic win in the House come next year has become much closer to a toss-up at this point, although still slightly leaning Democratic.
Now, this particular number is different than the numbers he's about to give next, because, again, those have the two different years, 2017 till October, you know, 2017, April till October. But these numbers that he gives are very, very interesting. These are incredibly interesting. So I want you to listen to this again. I'll break it down in a second. Hold on.
You go back to April, Kate Baldwin. What were we looking at? Well, we were looking at the Democrats with a very clear shot of taking control of the U.S. House of Representatives, according to the Kalshi prediction market odds.
Now, he's talking about April of this year for Democrats. They were at 83%. We're talking a couple of months into the Trump administration. Democrats' chances of winning the House in 2026, very, very early. And many of you on the left were screaming and hollering. It's like, look, look at them. Democrats are overwhelmingly favorable. And then with all of that, they did everything. Right? What did we see? We saw no kings. We saw Tesla attacks. We saw protests every other weekend. We saw ICE, attacks. We saw everything. We thought everything attacked as far as it relates to Trump. We of course have the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And of course we have political violence in other places and in other ways. Their numbers today stand at 63%. From 83%, they're down. On the other hand, Republicans were at 17% at the same time in April. And they went up 20 points. How could that possibly happen? But it has. And you would suggest, or at least I would, what of all these protests and nonsense going on? If Democrat numbers are only going down. That is the wrong direction for everything that you're doing. You heard Chris Murphy. Why this is important.
So just blocks from here in Washington, D.C., on October 18th, there will be the big national No Kings protest. But there's a protest in your town or in your state, too. You can go to NoKings.org and find out where the closest event is to you. This is important. Donald Trump is trying to destroy the rule of law, trying to destroy our democracy, trying to stop you from being able to speak freely. But he can't win if we mobilize.
He can't win if we mobilize. And their numbers tanking. Doing the same thing over and over again, numbers still tanking. So now, the momentum from 2017 this time till today.
What's changed? What are you seeing?
Okay, what has changed? Well, why don't we just take a look at the national picture first? Take a look at voters and how they're feeling about things. And we can take a look at the generic congressional ballot. And I want to take a look and compare it to 2017, 2018, right? Because that's sort of the baseline. That was, of course, the first Trump term. That was where Democrats were sort of keeping pace. You go back to April, look at the generic congressional ballot. What'd you see? You see plus three Democrats in 2025 in April. You see plus three Democrats back in April of 2017.
Now, if the numbers confuse you and having to hear them, you need them explained. 2017, 2025 in April, Democrats plus three. Starting at the same place in 2025 they did in 2017, plus three. Now, fast forward to 2017 in October, April to October. Same 2 years, 2017 to 2025. Here's Harry Enten.
Now jump over to this side of the screen. What happens? Well, the Democrats are no longer keeping pace with the pace that they were setting back in 2017, 2018. You look back in 2017, you saw that the Democrats had leaped up to an 8-point advantage.
Now, what is he saying? 2017, they started at April, in April at three, and by October, they shot up 5 points to an eight. That is momentum building. And why was that happening in 2017 for Democrats? You had all of the Russian collusion nonsense. Everything about the Trump administration was in a disarray. The Republicans didn't trust him. The Democrats were hammering him. They made sure that they were going to impeach him. Everything was like hair on fire. And sure enough, it was resonating with the American people, which, again, we saw that 3-point advantage in April of 2017. By the time October rolled around, skyrocketed to 5 points. 4 months, 5 points. Okay? What's happening in 2025?
I remember covering this. I remember a lot of folks, including myself, saying, you know what? Republicans look pretty decent right now in terms of the fact that they had the House, they had the Senate, they had the presidency, but things were likely going to flip. And I was looking for the same signs this year. The bottom line is it hasn't happened, Kate Baldwin. It hasn't happened. Democrats have stayed basically steady. They have fallen off the pace. Democrats were way out ahead back in 2017 on the generic congressional ballot. And now we're basically looking at Democrats ahead. But again, they are so far in back of the pace that they set back there. And so I think what a lot of folks are seeing, folks like myself, are saying, wait a minute. Given what we might be seeing in redistricting, is this plus three going to be enough, Kate Baldwin?
So in April of 2025, 0.3. In October, 0.3. No change with everything I just described. No changes. No advantage. Why? And again, as I looked it up, What are the Kings, the No Kings protest about? Defending democracy against authoritarianism. That was 2024. Rejecting kings and tyranny. It's just symbolic. Just to declare that America has no kings. Amplifying marginalized voices. What else is new there? That's what you always did. It's what you've been doing since the Obama administration. Building sustained resistance. To what? You have no power to do anything. Right now, the government is closed because the Republicans won't negotiate with us. And guess what? It's a free-for-all. It's a damn free-for-all inside Washington. They're cutting stuff. They're spending money. Government seems to be just trotting along. You guys are just staging sit-ins or stand-ins. Well, Hakeem Jeffries is spitting a hot 16. Organizers emphasize a clear and unmistakable message. we're a nation of equals. Drawing on inspiration from figures like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to foster hope and a just society, that we're all equals, you're not preaching that message. Your folks are preaching that Republicans or MAGA folks are beneath you. None of this stuff is going to work. It isn't working. And you're going back to, we're holding another No Kings rally? I thought, and I looked at this as I did, saying, wait a minute, what did the last No Kings rally do? According to reports, it was one of the largest events in history as far as protests were concerned. And now you run the risk of fewer people showing up? And you think that this is going to resonate? I don't think so. I really don't. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong. I'm going to watch it. I'm telling you, I wish I was there. I need to commission people. I just wish, I don't want to put anybody out there. I would do it myself if I was there. Oh, I wish it was happening when I was there. Hopefully I'm lucky enough to, they'll throw another one. Maybe this one will be so successful, they'll do it again when I get there. And then I'll be out there just asking questions. And I won't antagonize. I'll just, hey, why are you here? Just let them go on about their business. I don't know. I'm baffled. But, I don't think it looks good, guys. I don't. But I don't think you guys have an idea anyway. I don't think you guys know what to do. Climate change isn't working for you. Nobody cares about that anymore. The trans issue that you guys are just made to look silly every time you bring that up. You can't go to men and women's sports. That's got no legs anymore. I mean, even Democrats have rejected that. I mean, if you really think about it, the only enthusiastic thing you got going on is the Zoran. That's it. I don't know who else you got. Is there somebody? Is Gavin Newsom still the guy? Oh, Gordon Gekko? Is he still the dude? Is that, I hope it is. Maybe it's JB. No, it's not him. Who am I kidding? I know it's not him. Anyway, when we come back and we wrap all of this up, Katie Porter doing damage control. Plus, we'll get to your phone calls as well as we wrap this up. We'll get some more details tomorrow about Mimi's death and if there's been any other reporting that will get us to the bottom of this. I am actually working. I don't know if I'm going to get this, but I'm trying. I don't want to promise anything, but I am going to try to get a hold of Mimi's biological father to see if he'll do an interview. I doubt that he will. But I'm still going to try to get to the bottom of that. So stand by for that. I will give you any details that I have tomorrow after I try today. All right? Your phone call's coming up, and we'll wrap this show up as well when we return. Let's get to Mark Christopher. He's in the BPS Traffic Center. Hey, sir.
The Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed from WTIC News Talk 1080. Download the free Odyssey app, search WTIC News Talk 1080, and tap earlier today to get started.
Yeah, and what had happened was today we opened the show talking about the child, Mimi Torres, of course, at the hands of her mother and her mother's sister, or aunt for that matter, and boyfriend. She lost her life, and all of the details that have come out so far as it relates to the grandparents who raised Mimi from birth till 7 years old and was taken out of their hands by DCF. We broke all of that down. And we also talked about the 98,000 school children chronically absent in the state of Connecticut because people have been reporting that Mimi was homeschooled, even though there doesn't appear to be any records of this. To back it up, one of the things I wanted to bring attention to was as it relates to that part of the story where Mimi was in the care of her grandparents from the time of her birth until 7 years old, and DCF then took her from them and sent her with her mother. So I was looking at this, and the father is in the picture. And every time he tried to see his daughter, he got told that she didn't want to talk to him and all this other stuff. And then I argued that, you know, when did we become this behavior of 11-year-old kid says, I don't want to see you, and you just kind of took that as, okay. I just found that odd. Maybe there were other circumstances, I don't know. But I want to read this as it pertains to fathers. So I looked this up to find out what was the custody rate for 30 years, for the past 30 years, what the custody rate between mothers and fathers were. And the period between 1994 and 1995, the custody rate for fathers as sole custody, for sole custody, was 16%, with mothers getting 84%. In 2008, joint custody at 13%, but usually fathers getting sole custody jumped 2% to 18%. And it went down again between 2013 and 2016 to 17.5%. And then between 22 and 25, it is at 20%, with mothers getting the child at 80%. And it goes without saying that there's actual fact to back this up, folks. It's actual facts to back this up, that children fare better with their fathers. Statistically, they do. They do. I just thought it was something to mention.
What's up, everybody? You know who it is.
You know who it is.
You know who it is.
It's Reese on the Radio. Frederick Douglass of the 21st century.
It's WTIC News Talk 1080.
Tomorrow's program, we have got to do an in-depth look at Ketanji Brown Jackson and the Supreme Court oral arguments that are happening today. If you have been checking them out on X, they are astonishing, just as it relates to Ketanji Brown Jackson. And the thing that I find I'm awestruck by, and I know that there are going to be some people who just don't understand. They're going to listen to her questions now, and I know who they are, the usual suspects. They will listen to her query. In this case about the Voters' Rights Act, and they will look at it and they go, I don't see the problem. And I'm going to have to explain this to them. Like the fact that they would look at it and go, what you do? Is why I'm going to have to explain it. Because that's how bad it has gotten with Ketanji Brown Jackson. This woman, and it's, I gotta tell you, this is the truth. And the only reason why I know this, I can't believe I'm saying this. I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't. But I have to do it. And I'll talk about it a little more tomorrow with evidence. Okay. So the Supreme Court justices, you may have heard recently that Amy Coney Barrett has kind of like been scathing towards Ketanji Brown Jackson. That's not even the surface. Like, it's not that deep. Even the liberal justices are looking around going, how in the hell did she get through law school? Sotomayor is baffled. And she's a wise Latina. I mean, there are people who are saying some god-awful stuff about this, and it's really, really bad. And it's all legitimate. It's not like a bunch of people just razzing the dumb girl at school. Like that, you know, I want to borrow a statement, a line from John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana. I forget how he put it, but she is giving blonde jokes a run for their money. This woman is dumb. There's no other way to put it. Her colleagues are saying that. In so much. They're saying that this is a dumb person who does not understand the law and makes arguments that are absolutely unreal. And she's arguing with counsel. Sounding even, I mean, even the people like, and they're trying to be respectful. If you listen to some of this audio, it's crazy. The way that they're responding, it's like, they can't believe it. They're walking out there going, is she real? If I may, Ketanji Brown Jackson said something out loud that I said 3 years ago as a joke. I had a logo that I created, and I've said this, and those of you who know this show, listen to it for years, know that I've said it, is that liberals and the intelligentsia, especially the black intelligentsia in this country, treat black people like they are special needs children. Well, lo and behold, Ketanji Brown Jackson actually made a case that said that black people are like disabled people who cannot get access to a building. Her mouth, not mine. I said it as a joke. She really believes that to be true. That blacks are disabled people. I don't know what to tell you. And that's why I know that people are going to read that. And people are going to read what she said or listen to what she said and go, I don't see the problem here. Craig says the Kennedy quote was, women like that are why they put instructions on shampoo bottles. That's a good one, too. That's actually pretty bad. That is pretty bad. Let me go to Ralph. What's going on, buddy?
Good afternoon. Couple things. That poor 12-year-old who was killed?
Yeah.
Why? Please explain this to me, because I really have a hard time understanding this. Why would President Biden issue a pardon to a drug dealer in Connecticut who killed a woman who was going to testify against him and her son, and got a pardon that was okayed by Murphy, Blumenthal, and the other five congressional representatives in Connecticut?
I don't think Biden had anything to do with that. And, I talked about that story. I didn't even know it, but my former boss, Joe Schoen, wrote a great piece about her after her passing. He wrote this great piece in the U-Haul sort of like monthly reader because she was a U-Haul employee, and he wrote such a beautiful article about her that I found. And, yeah, it was just awful for them to do that. Talk about an undeserving pardon for a guy. I mean, what do you have to do in order to be looked over for a pardon under that Biden administration? It was insane. Anyway, what else you got real quick?
Well, who put his name up there? Real quick, I want you to ask every senator and congressman in Connecticut where they want to get the money to pay for the $1.5 trillion, what taxes they want to increase to pay for it.
Yeah, I hear you, boss. Thank you, man. I hear you. Thanks, boss. Joe, Mall Street, what's going on, sir? And by the way, yesterday you said breaking news. As soon as I saw the report, I just went, why? What do you mean breaking news? This story's a month old. The news media is just catching up to the bounty story.
Yeah, but this came after the boat was blown up yesterday morning.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they kind of.
It was a brand new warning because of that incident.
Yeah, and I checked out the cartel, by the way. I was looking up the cartel that made the statement. I'm sitting up here going, like, who is their PR guy? Like, who's their press guy? Did they really contact the media and say, hey, we'll put a bounty on someone? I'm going, okay. It's really weird. Anyway, what do you got for me?
Well, I told you how that deal with Gaza is going to fall apart because the dead aren't going to be returned for whatever reason.
We're still getting dead bodies today. What are you talking about?
Well, they substituted a body that wasn't an Israeli.
One body was wrong. Yeah, that wasn't even an Israeli prisoner that they swapped. But I don't understand why nobody believes me. You guys got to listen to me. I said this. This is not that campaign to return dead bodies. That's not going to go the way that you return live ones. It just isn't. And that's the reason, look, Hezbollah and Hamas, they put themselves in that pickle. So they've got to deal with it. You know, you kill those hostages while they're in custody and you leave them there and forget about them. Not like you know, not that these people would ever put a marker on there. That's in the middle of a war. These people do not have the ability to go back and retrace their steps to go find the dead hostages. It's never going to happen. And I don't think that, I want to say this, I don't think that Israel should give them a pass, but nor should I hold them to a standard that they're going to be able to fulfill that request in a meaningful way. They may be able to recover some, but I don't think they're going to recover all.
Well, they'll have to play out, but I don't think they're going to wait too much longer before something goes...
They're going to have to make some concessions, and I think because, and I do believe this, if they cannot recover those bodies, and if Donald Trump sticks to his word, which I believe he will, he will definitely unleash the hounds. So I think they're going to make another concession because they can't do it. They're going to either ask for more time or they are going to seriously and in a meaningful way lay down their arms, because I don't think they want what's coming. Because I think really Donald Trump has made it clear, I'm just going to unleash this guy, Netanyahu. And Netanyahu, he doesn't want a pound of flesh. He wants a ton. He wants a ton. And that's why.
Speaking of Donald Trump, came out this week in commemoration of the 250th anniversary of our country. The U.S. Mint announced they're going to come out with a commemorative silver dollar with Donald Trump is on the head. You know, the last time they did a dollar commemorative was Eisenhower, the Ike dollar.
I thought it was Kennedy. Oh no, that was the half dollar.
Yeah, the half dollar, and that's still in. That's still being, you know, that's still in mintage since 1964.
Yeah.
But the Ike dollar ran from 71 because Eisenhower died, I believe it was late 69. So they came out in 71 with the Ike dollar, and that ran through 1978. Now you're going to have the Trump dollar, which is going to start next year, 2026.
I think that's going to be cool.
I think, you know, it's going to be very popular. You know, just like the Kennedy half dollar, you couldn't get them. I lived back then. When they came out in 1964, people were at the banks. Where are they? Where are they? They're being scooped up by the hundreds. And they ran, you know, an extra mintage of over 300 million into 1965 with the date 1964 because there was such high demand. And I think the same thing will be with the Trump dollar.
It was still popular in the 80s when I was growing up, man. I remember, I knew a lot of kids that collected them. They got a hold of them. They kept them. That people love that coin. This one will be a collector's item without a doubt. I guarantee it.
Because of inflation, you know, $20 bill isn't what it used to be. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring back 1959. They stopped the $500 bill and the $1,000 bill. They used to be used for home closings and, you know, big deals, but money was worth a lot more back in 1959. Well, they're going to bring back the $500 and the $1,000 bill. And the rumor is Trump's going to probably be on the $1,000 bill instead of McKinley. William McKinley used to be on the
$1,000. They'll fight. You know what? Turning that into a war that I don't, that's a fight I don't even want to have. That seems almost ridiculous, but I hope they don't do that. That's kind of going to be silly. Anyway, thank you, Joe. Got to get up out of here, buddy. Tomorrow, like I said, Ketanji Brown Jackson, we'll talk about that. Any other breaking news on the Mimi Torres story, we'll have that for you as well. Tomorrow's Thursday, so of course we'll have Negro Nonsense, and much, much more, throughout the day. I didn't get to the matriarchy today, because there was so much stuff to sort of break down, as it goes to this Torres story. I'll do it tomorrow. And the question is this. And did we go so far to marginalize men to sort of relinquish our position in the world to prop up and to promote women as leaders, that it is hurting children and the direction of this country? Because I almost feel like in giving women control in the way that, you know, intelligentsia, the academia, and all of that, that the only thing they've been promoting is the destruction of the family and of the children. What do I mean by that? I'm telling you, it's one of the two big things that are on the agenda for families and children. It's one, to not have them, and two, to abort them. And if it's not those two, It's to introduce what can only be described as sick, perverted, you know, paraphernalia in the schools. It is insane that in this, by saying that, you know, we're supposed to listen to women and believe women and let them be in charge and all of that stuff. And the stuff that they're promoting is detrimental to the core fabric of who we are. And I'm not saying all women. I'm not. I know that there are women out there who are, you know, the you go girls, you know, more power to you. But I think that everybody has to come to terms that this is so rough to say. For things to be somewhat traditional is not the same thing as subjugation. That's not what anyone is talking about. It's not like the farthest extreme of things. People look at June Cleaver like the most deplorable thing ever. She's fictional. There is no June Cleaver. But the idea of it is not bad either. If a woman wanted to be Susie Homemaker, and she loved what she did, providing for her family, those things, why does that have to be maligned? Why do women, you can reject it, women, and go your own way, but why does it have to be rejected for everyone? Just like in the stupidest thing I read today, this writer, who can't be more than 30 years old, says in the article, I thought we had decided that this, you know, idea of women was rejected. I thought we all decided. We didn't. And we all didn't decide that mom stayed home or didn't stay home and went out in the workforce. We didn't all decide that. It was not a collective. The things you're talking about, the things that happened in the 50s and 60s and moved on to the 70s, all of these things were forced upon us. And if we didn't agree, we were maligned and we were shouted down and we were called all types of names for not going along to get along. There was no consent. God, you people scream about me too. And you guys, like, ideologically attack us, assault us for not agreeing with you. It's never with our consent. So, 92% of Bills test positive for coke, confirmed, Boris writes. I don't even know what that is. I'm so insane. All right, as I always say, radio is free, so we... Thank you for paying attention. Remember to keep JC in your hearts and in your minds. Sean Patrick, we love you and we miss you. Remember to panic is not planning, so plan your work and work your plan. Me, I'm Reese on the radio. You have a good night and pleasant tomorrow. We'll see you back here on Thursday. Mark Christopher's getting you home. He's got the BPS Traffic Center.